Welcome to the Council of Better Business Bureaus podcast, The Bistro, where we will discuss today's hottest consumer trends, predict the future with consumer experts, and learn how elite businesses and entrepreneurs continue to push the envelope in today's marketplace.
Hello, thank you for joining us today on The Bistro. I'm your host, Elena Spinola. October is National Cybersecurity Awareness Month. This annual initiative to raise awareness and take steps to ensure every American has the resources they need to stay safer and more secure online also aims to increase the resiliency of the nation during cyber threats. One such step is a new federal law called the Economic Growth, Regulatory Relief, and Consumer Protection Act. This new law gives consumers stronger and more direct ways to protect their credit, including freezing and lifting the freeze on their credit files for free. Here to walk us through the details of this new federal law and how it will help protect consumers from identity theft is Lisa Shipperly, an attorney with the Division of Consumer and Business Education at the Federal Trade Commission. Thank you so much for joining us back here in the studio, Lisa. We always appreciate you being here.
Thanks for having me.
Sure. So, Lisa, can you walk us through the Economic Growth, Regulatory Relief, and Consumer Protection Act, and when did this law go into effect?
Sure. The law took effect on September 21st, and it provided two new rights to consumers who want to protect their credit. The first is free credit freezes, and the second is year-long fraud alerts. First of all, under the new law, anyone anywhere in the country can now place and lift a credit freeze for free. Before this law, credit freezes were based on state law, and depending where you lived, you might have to pay a fee each time you froze or unfroze your credit. Now it's absolutely free. And if you don't know what a credit freeze is, basically a credit freeze restricts access to your credit file, making it harder for identity thieves to open new accounts in your name. The second thing the new law does is that it makes fraud alerts now last for 1 year. Before the new law, the fraud alerts lasted for 90 days. And a fraud alert basically means that before anyone takes out new credit in your name, they're required to verify your identity. Usually that means calling you at a number you provided to check if you really are trying to take out new credit or not. So these free freezes and year-long fraud alerts are two great new tools that the new law provides.
Okay, so you shared what a freeze is, but kind of just to be clear and expand upon that, can you walk us through how a freeze would work? What does that mean? Like, how would that work if someone needed to do that? And then what credit reporting agencies need to be contacted?
Great question. A credit freeze restricts access to your credit file, not only to businesses that are trying to access it, but also to you, so that anyone trying to open new credit, including you, cannot access the credit file until you lift or temporarily remove the freeze. So what you need to do to place a freeze is contact each of the three major credit bureaus. That's Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion. And you can get those contacts at identitytheft.gov/creditbureaucontacts. You'll need to contact each of those credit bureaus individually, so you have to contact Experian, you have to contact TransUnion, and you have to contact Equifax each time you freeze and each time you unfreeze. Usually they'll give you a PIN or a password to use for freezing and unfreezing. And if you place or lift the freeze online or by phone, the bureau has to put it in place within one business day, and they have to lift it within 1 hour. If you prefer to do it by mail, it'll take a little longer. They have 3 business days from when they receive your request.
Okay. And so what other benefits to consumers are there with this new law?
There are several benefits. The first of all is that credit freezes are now free. As I mentioned before, they used to involve fees based on state law. And now, thanks to this new federal law, it's free to freeze and unfreeze your credit throughout the country. And that's a huge benefit to consumers. Plus, now you can be more proactive. You used to have to wait until you were a victim of identity theft to get a free freeze in some states. And now anyone can get it for free. Another great benefit is the timing. The new law requires the credit bureaus to lift the freezes in a hurry and to place them more quickly. So that, as I mentioned before, if you do it online or by phone, the credit bureau has to put the freeze in place no later than the next business day. And if you want to lift the freeze, for example, if you're trying to get a new phone or a fridge or finance a car or a home or student loan, that has to happen within 1 hour. So it makes it a lot easier for consumers to use the freezes and get access to their credit quickly and efficiently.
Sure. I was just going to say, it sounds more efficient. Was there a time frame in the past that they had to do this by, that anyone had to put a freeze by, or it was just whenever it happened?
There was a time frame. It would vary based on state law, but it could take up to 5 business days under certain state laws.
Okay, so this definitely makes it more efficient.
Definitely.
Okay, and so how does the current law affect the ability of a parent to freeze their child's credit file? And could you maybe share an example of why a parent might need to do that?
Sure. The other great thing about the new law is that it allows you to freeze a child's credit file for free. And you might want to do this to freeze the child's credit until the child is old enough to need to use their credit. Before this new law took effect, again, it was a patchwork of state laws, and only some state laws allowed you to freeze a child's credit file. Now, no matter where you are in the country, you can freeze your child's credit for children under age 16. And again, to place a child credit freeze, just like with adults, you can go to identitytheft.gov/credit-bureau-contacts, and you'll need to do that with Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion, each one of them. So you may want to think about it for a child, because a child does not usually need access to their credit the way an adult does. So this is really a great tool for people with children.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you for helping us understand that. And are there any other groups that benefit from this new credit freeze law?
Yes. Now you can also get a freeze for someone who's under guardianship or power of attorney. So if you're the guardian, conservator, or have power of attorney over someone, you can now freeze that person's credit. You'll need to provide the credit bureaus with proof of your authority, like a court order or a validly executed power of attorney, and then you can place the freeze.
Okay. And what about the military community? How will this law affect them?
There are two things the military community should know about the new law. First is about active duty alerts. Active duty alerts will stay the same. If you're active duty military, you can still get a free fraud alert for 1 year, and you can renew it for the period of deployment. And if you get an active duty alert, you also get automatically opted out of pre-screened offers for 2 years. The other thing the military should know about the new law is that starting next May 2019, all active duty military will be entitled to free electronic credit monitoring from the 3 credit bureaus. So this will help protect service members' credit while they serve our country overseas.
Yeah, great to know. And my understanding is that thanks to this new federal law, consumers can also receive year-long fraud alerts as well. Can you tell us more about that?
Sure. A fraud alert is a bit different from a credit freeze. It still allows you to access your credit. Basically, what it does is it will tell any business that runs your credit that they should check with you before opening a new account, like calling you to say, is that really you at that store trying to take out a new account? And in the past, fraud alerts lasted for 90 days when you placed them. But as of September 21st, the fraud alert now lasts for 1 year. It's still free, and identity theft victims can still get what we call an extended fraud alert, which lasts for 7 years. They'll need to provide proof of being an identity theft victim, and they can get that at identitytheft.gov. They can get their identity theft report to show that they are a victim of ID theft and entitled to an extended fraud alert for 7 years. But everyone else, regardless of whether you're an ID theft victim or not, can get that free fraud alert for 1 year.
Okay, great to know. And Lisa, how do you see this new law impacting the marketplace and the benefits to consumers just overall?
Well, it's likely that more people who are interested in buying things on credit will have freezes in place. And the law streamlines the process for lifting those freezes so that it only takes an hour if you do it by phone or online. So although there may be an initial adjustment period as both consumers and businesses get used to the new system of freezing, unfreezing, and refreezing, it should really make it easier for consumers to have a credit freeze in place and still access their credit when they need it.
Got it. Are there any other great tips that you can share for ways that people can just be proactive?
Sure. Well, credit freezes and fraud alerts are 2 great ways to be proactive, but you can also do a few other things. First of all, we recommend that people check their credit at least annually. at annualcreditreport.com. Annualcreditreport.com is the free and legitimate site to check your credit. And by doing that, you can see if anyone is misusing your credit or if there's any accounts or activity that you don't recognize. The other thing you can do is check all your bills and accounts regularly to make sure there isn't any activity that you don't recognize that may be an indication of identity theft. Finally, make sure to safeguard your Social Security number and don't give it out unless absolutely needed. A lot of places ask for the Social Security number and may not always need it. And the fewer places your Social Security number is out there, the fewer places it can be stolen from. And that Social Security number is really important for new account ID theft, so you want to limit how much you have it out there. Finally, if you're a victim of identity theft, you can go to identitytheft.gov. That's the federal government's one-stop center where you can report identity theft and get a personalized recovery plan that walks you through all the steps that you need to take in order to recover from identity theft.
Yeah. One tip that you offered, and by the way, thank you. Those are great tips. One you mentioned was about the Social Security number, and I'm glad you brought that up. And just as a regular consumer, oftentimes we see that on a whole variety of forms. I'm just curious, how do you know where, well, it's asking for it, but I'm just not going to give it? I mean, how do you decipher as a just consumer? I don't know. What's your advice there?
Our advice is to ask the person or company why they're asking for the Social Security number, why they need it, and how they're going to safeguard it. And if they don't have a good answer, then consider not providing it.
Yeah.
For example, a lot of medical providers will have on their phone Social Security number, but usually if you don't provide it, then it's not really an issue. But if you don't ask and just fill it in, then there it is.
That's a great point. So just being alert to what people ask, you don't necessarily just have to give.
Exactly.
So that's great advice. We should note that the information we shared here today regarding the new Economic Growth, Regulatory Relief, and Consumer Protection Act is just a portion of an explanation of the new law, specifically as it relates to consumers. Lisa, where can our listeners learn more about this new law?
A great place to learn more about the new law and also about other new credit issues and scams that might affect you is by reading our FTC blogs, which you can find at consumer.ftc.gov/blog. That's consumer.ftc.gov/blog. We've already published several blogs on the new law that you can check out there. And if you want to get updates on the new law, plus learn about other ways to protect your credit and identity, you can subscribe to our blog so you'll get an email each time a new consumer update is written. It's really a great way to keep on top of the latest laws, learn about FTC cases, and hear about new scams.
Excellent. Well, Lisa, I want to thank you for joining us here in the studio. It's always a pleasure to have you here. You always provide a wealth of really great information. So thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Sure. The Better Business Bureau is deeply committed to building and advancing a better marketplace, a trusted marketplace for all, because trust always matters. For the Better Business Bureau, I'm Elaine Espinola, host of the Bistro podcast. Until next time, it's been my pleasure discussing better business with you.
You just enjoyed the Bistro podcast. Be sure to tune in next month for a brand new episode. To learn more about our other shows, visit betterbusiness.blueberry.com. That's betterbusiness.blueberry.com and subscribe. The thoughts and opinions expressed on this podcast are the views and opinions of the guests, not those of the Better Business Bureau, Council of Better Business Bureau, or program affiliates. This podcast is for information and educational purposes only and is copyrighted with all rights reserved. This podcast is protected by Blueberry's Terms of Service.